Welcome everyone to NerdWide.com's weekly podcast titled Hero Cravings, The Arrowverse, where we cover and break down all DC and CW TV shows, episode by episode for you, the listener. I'm your host, Tyler Haynes, with my co-host, the man himself, Chris Rivers.
Hello, everybody.
So just in case you missed last week's, things will be a little different from here on out. Instead of just Hero Cravings, we've decided to break things up because we couldn't give these amazing shows that we recap and talk about the time they truly deserved. So from here on out, we're going to have two different Hero Cravings every single week. This one, which will be Hero Cravings Arrowverse, episode technically 17, and the other part of the episode will be Hero Cravings Multiverse, episode 17. So Multiverse will be shows like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Black Lightning, and of course until they actually put Black Lightning into the Arrowverse. I mean, we all know it's going to happen at some point. And then Gotham and Gifted. And of course, this one, which is all the Arrowverse TV shows, which is Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. Now, some quick housekeeping, so we get this out before we jump into this episode. Don't forget to share, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes and Google Play. If there is a service that you personally listen to your stuff on and we are not there, let us know. I want to make this as easy as possible for you to listen to our episode. So just email me, message at nerdwide@gmail.com. Anyway, Chris recaps Blacklist and Blindspot at purefandom.com, so make sure you check out his weekly recaps there. And don't forget to check out our interview with comicbook.com's Charlie Ridgely on our podcast channel, where we talk to him about his career and some Gotham and some insights into Gotham. Now, this is our 17th official episode. Let me give you a recap of how the show is going to go down. Each week, we go through all the Arrowverse TV episodes in order as they air. We'll be bringing you our thoughts and reactions to every episode. That being said, we're going to jump right into it with episode 311, titled Fort Roz. Now, we started this week off with a great episode. We got a lot of things that happened in this one, so to speak. A lot of girl power and some team-ups. So, to get a little bit more information on Rain, they found out that a priestess in Fort Roz knows about her and was essentially knows everything about Rain and the World Killer program and all this other stuff. So, they try to find where Fort Roz is. We find out it's already a blue star. Now, what's so special about this is it's not a yellow star, so Supergirl won't have her powers on the fort. And so, and then it also, it kills off anyone who has a Y chromosome in their DNA. So it's all females, all the time, and no power for Supergirl. We start off the episode again with Lena is sending Ruby off, not Ruby, Sam off on a business trip. And Ruby is getting babysitted by Alex. And I thought this was really cool, especially since, you know, we dealt with the problem of Alex and Maggie. The reason they broke up was because Alex wanted kids. And I thought this was a really cool episode to see what Alex would be like as a mom.
Right.
And I thought that was really well done, how they did it with the bully and, you know, that hanging out, playing games and everything.
Yeah, the bully situation was great. I mean, she flashed that FBI badge and that
little girl turned right around, didn't she?
Yeah.
She goes, I won't do that ever again.
I love the fact, too, that apparently when they were kids, Alex has Kara watch The Shining.
Right.
And Kara's trying to blame Alex. She got scared. And Alex tells Ruby, we'll put The Shining on later. Yeah. Ruby's like, okay.
It was, and it's, I really like Ruby's character, the little girl who plays her and everything. I think she's a great addition to the show. And it, you know, since Sam, her mom, is Rain, I really wonder if we're going to get to a situation where Rain gets killed off, but Ruby stays around and Alex kind of adopts her. Could you see that happening?
Yeah, I could see that happening. And the other question with that is, obviously, Sam gave birth to Ruby.
Right.
Well,
So Ruby would have to have powers.
They just haven't manifested yet, apparently, because she is at least part Kryptonian.
Right.
So,
I didn't even think about that.
And I don't know if we've even gone down the rabbit hole of who her dad is yet.
Oh, we haven't even.
No.
No, see? We don't really know much about Sam's past to kind of even hypothesize that, you know?
Right.
Unless, you know, Superman had a one-night stand. Anyway.
Hey.
Super Kryptonian.
Superman has needs too, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you, Chris. So for the team up for Fort Roz, We obviously can't have any males, so Martian Manhunter can't go. Mon-El can't go. So who do you team up with? And this team up to me was a little weird, but it made sense because Supergirl doesn't have any powers.
Can I jump in real quick?
Absolutely.
So I understand John, Mon-El, they can't go. Wen wouldn't have been any use up there anyway. Well, what about Brainy?
Because he's a robot.
Right. I mean, he's some sort of android, right?
Right. So he should have been...
So he should have been okay to have gone.
Maybe he's not a combat android, though. Because even last episode, when they were fighting at the prison, he stayed up in the ship.
Yeah. He could have stayed in the ship there, though.
That's true. Because there wasn't a whole bunch of... Some of those girls didn't get out of the ship anyways.
Right.
See, Chris, what the insightful information. She assembles this team. And so we get Saturn Girl, which is Mon-El's wife. We get Psy from earlier this season. And then Livewire, which has been in and out of seasons since the show started. Again, weird team up. Why would you... Like, Psy is almost like Supergirl's... villain, like her nemesis type thing. I mean, technically, Livewire could have been too, but Livewire went straight. So I don't know.
I get Psy, in the sense that they had control over her. They had her locked away. So it's right. Like, if you want to get out for a little while, this is how you do it. Livewire, I see how Supergirl makes the case to her, like, look, I'm not nearly as much a danger to you as Rain is. Right. So if you want a chance to stop her, you need to help me. But at the same time, it's like, Livewire could have just kept laying low.
Yeah. Because she wouldn't have. I don't know. See, it's...
Which, considering how things end up going in the episode, might not have been a bad idea.
Right. So we go up to Fort Ross. There was a little battle scene. There was some really cool stuff. Now, Chris, I know I talked a little bit before the show, but Psy and Saturn Girl had a little, I don't want to say moment, because we're living like a romantic moment, but it was still a moment. Psy hit Saturn Girl with her little mind blast.
Right.
And the confusion on everyone's faces after that was kind of weird to me. And originally I thought they switched places. Or switch bodies, because, you know, that's what happens on every mind control anything. Flash. But, but so we don't, but nothing ever happened. So I don't know if we're going to see something down the line, or what it was really about.
Well, I've been thinking about that since we talked about it before the show. I got a theory.
Mm-hmm.
So, there was an article on comicbook.com. We'll plug them, and it was written by Jenna Anderson, so we'll plug her. We're doing all sorts of favors in this episode.
Absolutely. That's what it seems like.
But it's a great little article talking with Tyler. What's the actress's name?
Actress name is, let me pull up the page I had on. It is Amy Jackson, Emerald Arcane, Saturn Girl.
Yeah. So they did this interview with Amy Jackson, and she's talking about that there could be something coming up with the marriage to Mon-El and something that's going on there that we're not aware of yet. Some people read that article have theorized that Saturn Girl is using, apparently she has some mind control abilities as well.
I could see that because we've got, and, you know, with her telepathy powers.
And they think that she's using her abilities to Mon-El as her husband. And so I wonder if that look that Saturn Girl and Psy had between one another was Psy getting in there and find out.
Oh, and then she's like, oh, I get what you're doing. Okay, I'm going to keep it a secret because that's going to endanger Supergirl.
Which... also, by the way, could mean, because I know we talked about a look that comes later between Psy and Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, think about that now, maybe that's what Psy's look was about towards Supergirl.
Oh, so like, already setting it up.
Yeah, I know a secret you don't know.
Right. Because it'd be heartbreaking for a superhero type thing. Could you call him cosplay? One of them called him cosplay.
Yeah.
So, Well, and speaking of, I don't want to take a lot of attention away from Livewire. Did you, the space battle that she had, kind of, sort of, she kind of went out into space with two of the bad guys on the ship, which were just random. They weren't really that big into the episode.
Right.
And then she Livewired herself back into the ship.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that was really cool. I wouldn't have even thought to go that direction.
It also brought a question up for me, and I think I put this in our show notes. When the two beings are flying past her out into space, as she kind of anchored herself to the Fort Ross,
mm-hmm.
you hear them screaming. Now, it's a famous question made more famous by the movie Alien, where their tagline was, "In space, no one can hear you scream." I don't think you can audibly hear a scream in space because of the vacuum.
It was in the script, okay?
Hey, listen. We got all this science-y stuff happening.
Right.
So they need
Y chromosomes and all this other stuff.
Yeah. It just...
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, if you notice a lot of shows, like especially explosions, if they're like the point of view is from space, you can hear the explosion. You can't... Yeah. There's no sound in space, but whatever. And I want to talk about something that irks me, since that's kind of, you know, a little bit along those lines. Why are we bringing Maggie, like, up at all? Why? Come on, writers. Maggie texts Alex because she's missing a passport, which wasn't even hidden in a drawer, but Ruby just said, oh, this one? Just opened the drawer and pulled it out. So, it's not like it was buried anywhere. But why are we... It should have just been just that, but... They had to have a little girl-to-girl moment and everything. Oh, but it just, I don't like Maggie.
I've got an idea about that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that they probably put it in there. It gave Alex and Ruby something to talk. We didn't see them talk about it, but as they moved out of scene, they were discussing it.
Oh.
So it gave them a little something to connect with, and I think it's possibly going to be, like you mentioned before, this little tie-in where as that relationship with Maggie broke apart, Ruby comes into Alex's life. And if something happens with Rain and, you know, Sam fully becomes Rain and someone has to take Ruby in, well, why did Maggie and Alex split? Because Alex wants kids. And she might end up taking Ruby in.
Yeah, you gotta look at the long road here. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I'm gonna give you credit for that one, though, because you're the one that brought it up earlier.
Yeah, because it's... See, it's just... If you have that thought in mind and watch the show, it's gonna... I don't know. We've also seen a lot of Alex's apart this season.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, it's because love scenes and... whatever, with Maggie.
Bow, bow.
So, Rain found out Sam does not go on a business trip. She went to her fortress of servitude? I think that's whatever her fortress name is, out in the random desert that nobody's noticed yet.
You would think Google Earth would have picked that up.
One of the little cars would drive by and go, huh, what is this? Whatever. Says her little Kryptonian friend says she needs to go up to Fort Ross and take out the priestess because she's going to give away all the secrets and she knows too much. So Rain goes to Fort Ross, which was, you know, predictable in my eyes. She kills the priestess. The priestess wanted to be on Rain's side because obviously she knows everything. Because she gave
That was a surprise, though.
Yeah, because they could have really used her, but there's something going on.
Not only that, but to that point, we had no idea that Rain, if she went up there, would still have her powers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, but she still had her powers and everything. That's mm-hmm. We didn't put that in the notes, did we? No. But that's one of the things I wanted to bring up. How does... We still don't... Because, like, even the Kryptonite doesn't do much to her.
No, it's...
And now she still has powers without the yellow sun?
Well, the kryptonite weakened her.
Right.
It weakened her quite a bit. And when they showed that scene last week, she got back to her own fortress. The needle, she had pulled it, managed to pull it out, and it was laying a good ways away from her. Now, the kryptonite was still in her bloodstream. But I'm wondering how much of it actually made it into her.
Right. So, I don't know. That just, there's something going on there, and it might have something to do with, because she was made, I'm pretty sure. She was made in a lab. So, I don't know how that works. Yeah, well, we'll get more so into it. And, I mean, going along with Rain, you know, she comes back to Earth. Obviously, we'll talk about what happened on Fort Roz, but she comes back to Earth, and she has no recollection of anything. Like, she was supposed to make this business trip, but she made it to her car. She never made it on the plane. And she showed all of the stuff.
All the missed calls.
Yeah, all the missed calls and stuff from Lena and all the other companies.
She's fired.
Yeah, like, she's freaking out. And, but on Fort Roz, we'll go back, we'll backtrack just a little bit to Fort Roz. There's this big battle with Supergirl. Obviously, she doesn't have a power. She's thrown around like anything. Live wires being thrown around. Psy comes in and kind of helps. Well, she helps out. She gets in her brain. And then Sam comes out instead of Rain. She goes, "Where am I?" And she goes, "Oh, Supergirl." And she sees Supergirl, and then Rain kind of takes back over. And so, does she not remember that either, though?
No, I don't think she does. Because when she's back at her apartment, or at Alex's apartment, picking up Ruby, it's, she's freaking out. She says, I've lost all this time. I've been losing time. I don't know what's going on. She didn't even remember telling them she was going out of town on a business trip.
Right.
So she's completely out of it.
I wonder when people are going to start putting two and two together. Because I can see, like, when Alex gets back to work, be like, "Oh, you know, how was your trip?" or whatever. Because Alex didn't act like going up to Fort Roz without her powers is a big deal to Supergirl. But, I mean, there's not much she can do because she's got a broken leg right now anyways. But I don't know. Well, I think Alex, if anybody, could put it together. I've got smarts in her intellect. I kind of like it.
I think before Sam gets killed, I think they'll find a way to defeat Rain, but without killing her, and she'll still be too concerned that she's going to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
And she'll leave Ruby and Alex's care, and she'll go off somewhere.
Go off and try to find herself.
Yeah.
And of course, on Fort Roz, we Livewire dives a blast from Rain and protects Supergirl, and Livewire dies, RIP. But I really liked Livewire this episode.
Yeah.
And the chemistry between all the girls, honestly, were good. I'm just a Psy fan, but Livewire I liked.
I've liked every episode Livewire's been in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a really good character. The actress did a great job. It's just, I don't think they really needed to kill the character off.
Right.
I think that they could have, you know, gone about that a different way. And maybe even had her become a part of the DEO.
Yeah.
You know, in the future.
Britt Morgan's her name.
Yeah.
The actress. I didn't, especially like with this team up, but it was kind of, it really showed kind of Supergirl, her other, she might not have powers there, but she still has power in people's lives. Enough to change it, because I mean, Livewire used to only be about herself, you know, and mm-hmm. she took a blast from Supergirl, and here we are. I'm not Supergirl, but from Rain. We finally, you know, the last episode, we had the Kryptonian woman telling Rain she needs to find the other world killers, and we find another one whose name is Julia. She saved one of her friends from getting hit by a car, and she got sandwiched in between. No bruises, no cuts. She's not dead. She pushed the car away. They seemed pretty surprised about it, so I think we're going to have another alter ego type thing on our hands.
Yeah, definitely.
But here we are. And then, early numbers for this one. 0.5 rating, 1.1. 2.07 million viewers, which is down 0.10 from last week. And next week's episode is titled For Good. So, do with that information what you will. All right. Next show, Flash episode 411, The Elongated Night Rises. Is it a play on words of The Dark Knight Rises? Absolutely. But it was a good episode. We didn't have a lot of notes for it because it wasn't a big, you know, episode for some things, but we finally got something Chris has been wanting forever. Dibny finally gets a suit.
Yes.
I mean, I like it. I was just wanting more of a comic book themed suit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not going to complain about it.
No, because it's definitely an upgrade over what he had.
Mm-hmm.
The poor guy.
Yeah.
He even had villains laughing at him. So yeah. But yeah, I don't know that whenever I see anything about a superhero suit coming into play, it's always, you know, you think of stuff like you have with the Green Arrow, with Flash, like the X-Men wore in their movies. And his new suit is not quite on that level.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is the storyline point behind it is Cisco's only had so much time to work something up, and he's got to have something that stretches with
Dibny. Right. It has to be elastic. Well, and we started this episode off with there was a prison riot. It wasn't a very big Flash heavy episode. It was more about Dibny more than anything, which was fine. I loved Dibny's character, but it starts with a prison riot. Flash is sitting in his cell. You know, obviously can't handle the situation because it's not, he's thrown in this environment he's never been used to. Of course, he saves the day, puts all the criminals back in their jail cells and saves the guards in classic Flash fashion. But right after that, Dibny is going to a robbery in his gray ugly suit, and we find out he's bomb proof. We know he's bulletproof. Well, he's also bomb proof because we'll get on that subject here in a second, but like he grabbed the bomb and put it in his stomach and kind of wrapped around it and just expanded a little bit, and that was it. He said, "Ooh, spicy," something like that.
Yeah.
And then, but the team was like, you know, you could have killed people. You didn't know you're bomb proof or whatever. And I'm just like, why aren't y'all giving him any credit? He just saved the day, caught a bad guy. You know, uh-huh. Sure, he's making himself out to be the superhero that everyone loves and everything. He's getting his own name. He didn't even get it from Cisco. So I don't know. I'm not giving him enough credit. We had a guest star. We had Goldberg from the wrestling star Goldberg. His name was Big Sur in this show, which was kind of funny. Turns out he knew Henry Allen, which was Barry's dad. And Barry's dad actually saved his life, and that's why Big Sur was kind of looking out for Barry a little bit. And I don't know if you noticed this, Chris, or if you were on Twitter or not, but Mark Hamill actually watched this episode.
Really?
Yeah, because Danielle Panabaker, who plays Killer Frost, and Caitlin, said, this is a good episode tonight, make sure you're watching. And Mark Hamill said, oh, I'll definitely be watching. I was like, oh, I wonder why. And I went and looked in, that's why. Because this is, in the show, Trickster, and I didn't even think I'd write down what his wife's name on the show was.
Prank.
But, yeah, Prank. So she's on the show, and it's his wife and his son. But his son is all about trying to get his father's attention, which I thought was kind of weird. But did you see the picture with Mark Hamill as the guy he plays? I forget his name. And a little kid and his wife. Only for like a second you saw it on the show. Well, Mark Hamill tweeted out and said, that's actually his real life daughter. It wasn't even that guy. Like, it wasn't a boy character either. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It was actually, it's an actual photo of him and his wife and their kid. So I thought it was pretty funny. And then, Chris, isn't the Trickster, isn't that Flynn? From a win from Supergirl's dad?
No, his dad was
The toy guy, wasn't it?
Toy maker.
Something. Yeah, sorry. The whole episode, I was sitting there thinking that, so I was kind of hoping that. Anyways, found out that Dibny can still be hurt by acid. It's good to know. That was the whole aspect of the trickster. He wanted to get his dad's attention. Well, how do you get your dad's attention? Well, you terrorize a city and try and kill their superhero. There was a kryptonite reference in the show that Dibny made. They were talking about, well, they said, well, Dibny, looks like we found your kryptonite. And it was talking about acid. And he said, what's kryptonite? And they all just kind of rolled their eyes and just said, whatever. So that's pretty funny. Because, you know, from the crossover, because since he was in this one for some reason. We also get another special star, Bebo, returns. He gets an owie. His buddies died. Just a horrendous death, if you ask me.
And I need to correct something real quick. I was thinking Toy Maker, but it's Toy Man.
There's a difference, Chris.
Yeah, a pretty big one, yeah.
So, Dibny decides he is not fit to wear his new suit. Sisko goes to his new suit, but Dibny he's scared. And rightfully so, and I feel like these were a lot of nice callbacks to, like, season one of Flash. And because Dibny actually hurt, but, you know, this whole time he's had his powers, he hasn't been able to get hurt. Whether it be bullets or bombs, but he found out acid can actually hurt him. And so he kind of panics and is like, I don't want to be a superhero anymore. Which, and Team Flash took it a little on a weird side. They're like, you know, you're just being selfish. You know, it's not all fun and games and stuff. There's actually, like, life and death. But, I mean, to each their own. And he actually goes to Flash in prison. I was like, how do you do this? And you had a really good Barry Allen and Dibny scene in the prison cell. He goes, I'm scared every time I run out there. He says, but, you know, we have these powers, these gifts for a reason. He goes, we're going to help people. And kind of gives Dibny the courage that he needs to continue fighting on while Flash is still in there.
Yeah.
So Sisko and Killer Frost go to the little toy factory to save some hostages that Dibny was supposed to go in, that they were, the stretchy man was being called to go save. And they're sitting there arguing in front of the hoods, Killer Frost and Sisko. And they took off the hoods and...
No, they
didn't take them off. The people in the hoods took them off.
Yeah, first they uncuffed or untied the people sitting there under the hoods. And I could not believe that they did this.
Yeah, it's a rookie mistake.
When they did, then they reached up to kind of to help the people get up. Still left the hoods on them.
Right.
And they slapped these handcuffs on Sisko and Killer Frost that took away their powers.
Where did they get those from? I've got no idea.
And then they took the hoods off themselves and revealed that it was Prank and Trickster. So,
which, you know, you put in the notes, amateurs. That's absolutely an amateur mistake. I mean,
the first thing that you do is take the hood off.
Never watched... you know, any sort of movie or TV shows, they reference them all the time.
Yeah, tell me about it.
they debuted Dibny's suit this episode. You know, we talked about it earlier. It was good. I mean, it looks good. I'm excited to see more of it. He obviously saves the day along with Harry. No, or is it HR? I get them all mixed up. Harrison Wells has helped. And then Dibny finally gets his superhero name, although it's not from Sisko. It is from the media, and it is the Elongated Man. It's a mouthful, but we'll see how it goes. And the big kind of little plot twist at the end, Dibny and Sisko are getting coffee at Jitters, and none of them bring their wallets in classic fashion. And a little girl you might have recognized from the Crisis crossover comes up and pays for it. And it's kind of a little bit weird because you tell the way she looks at them and is talking to them, she knows them. And it's kind of the same thing we got from during the crossover as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to throw this theory back out there. And what before we talk about it, she was writing in a journal and smiling, being real giddy, but it was all the symbols from when Barry exited the Flash, the Speed Force. So, there's theories here. Is she Dawn Allen, which is Iris's and Barry's one of the childs they had? They were twins. or Chris, you even put in here, she wanted the Legion of Superheroes.
Right.
So I mean, it could be.
It could be both.
Yeah, I'm still leaning towards it's her daughter because of just the way that she acted in the crossover. But why is she in the past?
Well, and keep in mind that over on Supergirl, which, you know, I don't know how she would get to Barry Allen's timeline
right.
from there, but that ship that Mon-El and Saturn Girl and Brainy 5 were on, they mentioned at one point in Supergirl, like two or three episodes ago, well, there were three other spots on that ship. Who are those people?
Right.
So,
maybe
she dropped off? I don't know.
Maybe she... Oh, see, that's a good theory, too. Because I feel like these shows are like weaving a web that's all connected to each other. And that would be kind of cool. You know, she could be like, you know, I was here on a ship. I was supposed to come help save the future. We came back in time. And I woke up and I don't know how to get back to my time type thing. Or it whole, I don't know. This could be good. Early numbers for this one, 0.7 rating, down 0.1. 0.12 million viewers, down 0.39. And these are actually the two lowest episodes this season have been, and they've all been Dibny-centric, featuring the word elongated in the title as well. The other one was obviously Elongated Journey into the Night when Dibny first came to the show, which was episode 4. Drew overnights of 0.7 and 1.99 million viewers. Others have it done less than 0.8, 2.20 million. Coincidence? Or just people getting back to their normal routines?
I don't know. I mean, it's episode 4, I think, was back in September, early October.
Right.
So I don't know that there was really a whole lot going on then on Tuesday nights. And then this episode, there wasn't really anything going on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, This Is Us.
Yeah, but
different time slot.
They've been airing as well, opposite, you know, right. Flash and Black Lightning all season. So
Black Lightning.
I just don't know. I don't know. It seems weird that people would just not watch these episodes because of that character when we're just still learning about that character. But right. It's weird that the two episodes that were really focused on that character were the lowest rated in the overnights.
Well, we'll have to next week as well. Alexa, stop listening. Sorry. We'll have to see next week as well because it's a very Dibny-centered episode as well. First titled Honey, I Shrunk Team Flash, which you could, if you didn't see the previews, it's obviously the Dibny gets shrunk. Well, it's Dibny and Cisco. So, we'll have to see what the ratings are for that and see if it's still following the trend, you know. Next show we've got, Arrow episode 611, We Fall. This was a really good one, and never mind, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. But start the episode off, we see a councilman and the police chief and just some other people around their 7 a.m. commute. It's like 6:58, 6:59. And before I go any further, we show a hospital room in a hospital, like a CCU unit or a critical care unit. And they actually did it right, Chris. They had a vent. They had a vented patient with a correct vent machine. All of the monitors that showed, you know, like the EKG, the heart rate, all the oxygen, everything was correctly. Obviously, you know, it wasn't a big thing because I couldn't, you know, scrutinize as much as I wanted to. But at first glance, everything was fine. So they got my seal of approval for there.
I was just waiting. I thought he's going to rip them a new one.
No, like I wasn't. Oh, and even in Supergirl, I noticed they had a blue machine in their little med bay. And I thought that was really cool because we'll see if they actually do anything with that down the road if it's just for looks, which is a very expensive machine just for looks. But 7 a.m. hits, all electronics in the city are just starting to go extremely wonky. The councilman gets killed in a police accident. The police captain gets killed in a elevator accident. So it was, I mean, it was very cool how they could do it. And with, you know, Kate and James being the big bad of this season, obviously that's what's going on. So Vigilante tells Cisco that he is working undercover to take down Kate and James. He said he tried to tell Black Canary that, or Dinah, and she didn't listen. Very rightly so. That's something you should probably tell her when y'all are starting to rekindle things. Hey, by the way, if it comes out, I'm working with Kate and James, but it's okay. It's undercover. You know, but wasn't in the script.
Nope.
Kate and James visits Oliver at the mayor's office, which was really funny to see the interaction in his not Green Arrow persona. He says he is doing this because he missed the target he was shooting for as Arrow one night, and it killed his son 1 year ago from the day of the episode, whatever fictional it was. Black Canary, Curtis, and Wild Dog were all at a train station, all a little train, subway train depot that Vigilante tipped them off at. And Black Canary saves the day with her quick thinking. She stopped a train from running into another train, which would have been catastrophic. Killed a lot of people. William's going on a field trip. He's underneath a tunnel. Explosions start happening, I guess, from the gas lines and things like that. And he took control of the situation, which I thought showed a lot about his character. Because he's a lot calmer than I would have been. I would have been like all the other kids on the bus and been, I have no idea what's going on. I'm just going to sit here frozen.
But yeah, he didn't even skip a beat. Nope. He, as soon as he saw what happened, it was, we got to get out of here.
Yep.
And he started, so.
That, and we saw his Nerf gun bow and arrow skill at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty funny, and because Oliver couldn't make his shot.
Well, it's not a real bow and arrow, so.
That's true. And William hit every single one of his shots. I thought that was pretty funny. Foreshadowing? I don't know.
Maybe? I think so.
Yeah. So William finds out that Oliver's still being the Green Arrow, and he finally visits the Arrow Cave for the first time. Which, your classic, you know, plot line of, you lied to me, you've been lying to me for a month or however long they said. And it was very, very emotional between the two. And even Felicity was kind of thrown in there. She goes, she doesn't want to be the bad person because she's just now starting to be the good stepmom, the fun stepmom, you know?
Right.
And I get it all. And they wrapped it up really well at the end. But before all that happened, we found out Caden's, James's son is named Owen, which throws my theory out the bus because they say he took an arrow. So, and I was thinking Colton Haynes' character, what's his name? I already forgot his name in the show. I know it was Arsenal, but he hadn't been on the show in like 2 seasons. What was his name?
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank too.
But I know it wasn't Owen. Was it Theo?
Doesn't sound right.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Anywho, that was my theory. It's not Arsenal. But Arsenal still come back on the show.
You know, what they figured out was Oliver wasn't even in Star City when his son was killed.
Right.
So, you know, shame on you, Caden James, for not doing your homework and verifying your information.
Well, see, something's up about that, too, because they were researching to find out about Owen, about this day history and why it matters so much with Caden James, and they couldn't find the offshore account that they were looking at. I forget what certain country they were talking about, but there was no information there. They had Elena from Hive working. There was nothing. So, but that was kind of odd. There's a lot of plot holes as far as the story about Owen, but we'll figure it out in the future. I don't know if Caden kind of wiped everything so people couldn't. I don't know. But it's Caden James is all about humiliating, torturing Oliver. It's not about everybody else. It's just about Oliver because of what he did to his son, supposedly. We get a team up between Curtis and the gang and Team Arrow, and it was very short lived, but felt like the old show again. But it wasn't. They very quickly said, you know, I think it was even you said something, kind of a douchebag with Renee. because Oliver said, you know, good work, everybody. And Renee says something along the lines of, we're on a team or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, come something on, like dude. That. And then the episode ended with Kate and James kills all communication in the city. And then Oliver ends up wiring the $10 million to Caden because he went back on word to me. But he's trying to protect his city, and I get that. But you went on a press conference and said, you know, we're not going to bow down to terrorists, but you did anyways.
Well, I wonder, because all he did, he walks into Theo, you know, and he's like, that's for the money.
Right.
But Oliver's extremely wealthy.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking he paid it out of his personal funds.
Mm.
That way the city still hasn't negotiated with the terrorists.
Right. It's just him himself. Well, and then, you know, before the end of the episode, we got a family meeting between Felicity, Arrow, well, Oliver, and William. And I thought that was a real good, like, family aspect for the show. They were like, you know, Oliver said, my dad used to all of us when there was ever, like, a problem or an argument, just so everyone's on the same page. And he said, you know, if you still don't want me to be the Arrow or Green Arrow, he says, I will stop, he said, for you. He's basically saying, you know, I will do, because, you know, Diggle's better now, obviously, but the team's still split up. He said, you know, I will do this for you, and so you're not an orphan. But, and I thought it was a real sweet moment, especially for Felicity, because William said, well, you know, it's, at first I didn't want to be an orphan, he says, but now I've got Felicity. He said, yeah. So it's, I thought that was like a real good moment for her, because their relationships were a lot better, or it's been a lot better than Oliver and his has. So it was nice to see that. And he said, you know, you still be the Arrow. He says, actually pretty cool, because he saw him on the, in the Arrow K fighting and everything. So that was always awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Early numbers, 0.4 rating, down 0.1, 1.38 million viewers, which is pretty steady from last week. And then next week's episode is All for Nothing. The $10 million was wired. Communication is down in the city. Let's figure out what happens next. All right, Chris. It is time for the fan favorite segment. Douche, who gets the honors?
Well, I know we talked briefly about Caden James.
Mm-hmm.
Think we're settling on the trickster.
Yeah,
he's really definitely a douche canoe.
Yeah, he's just hell-bent on all this just to try to get his dad's attention. No, doesn't care who he hurts in the process. He also convinced his mom to stop taking her medication.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. That's a good fit for Douche Canoe of the Week. Now, Chris, here's a good question for you. All three of these episodes are great.
They were.
What's your favorite one?
The Dukes of Hazzard. No.
Did we miss an episode?
I've got to go with Arrow.
Yep, that's the same one I had.
You know, especially one thing I loved about this episode, you had the moment with Dingle where it's kind of a sad moment for him with, he's kind of hoping he gets to put the hood back on. Mm-hmm. He wants to be Green Arrow again. And that looks like it's not going to happen now.
Yeah, we've got Oliver back in the mantle.
Yeah, and if, I'm curious to see what happens with Renee, because I think that attitude he's carrying, that chip on his shoulder, it's going to eventually start to rub Curtis and Dinah the wrong way too.
Well, I thought with their relationship, because Curtis kind of went behind their back and everything and got this information and didn't tell the team. I mean,
right.
Because they're all about trust, and that should have been the first thing out of his mouth as soon as he got back. What?
His justification was there was no time.
Well, that's true. I mean, that is very true. But their mentality is group decision.
Yeah.
So
it's just there wasn't time to make a group decision because people would have died. But I just think they're going to see the positives in going back and working with Team Arrow, and he's going to keep taking those little digs, and I think they're going to eventually tell him, look.
Yeah, we don't need this negativity.
Yeah.
Get your sass out of here.
the best thing, eventually I think they're going to come around to the best thing might be us all getting back together. Can you handle that or not? Because, you know.
I wonder if, because we still have Colton Haynes, who played Arsenal, coming back on the show. I wonder if, well, I don't know, I'm not sure if it's permanent or not. I have to do some more research. But could you see, obviously, Arsenal going back to Team Arrow, and them still playing off this 3-3 team-ups? Because...
Maybe.
Because, well, why would they have their own little headquarters, you know, specifically for them? Why, you know, why go through all this trouble, you know, writing-wise, just to not have it anymore?
Mm-hmm. So maybe, but, you know...
That could be anything.
You know someone else is coming back, too, right?
Oh, that's right. We got I completely forgot to even mention that. Katrina Law, who plays Ra's al Ghul's daughter, is coming back into the show. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't actually read the article as much. Like, I skimmed through a lot of it because I think I was picking the kiddo up from school or something. But is she coming back as a permanent or just for a minute?
My understanding is it's going to be an arc.
Oh, good.
So...
I love Katrina Law. I've loved her in Spartacus. I love her on Arrow. Yes, I want more.
Well, actually, we need your answer for episode of the week.
It's Arrow. I agree. It's
okay.
I love the, like I said earlier, I love the aspect of the family meeting. I love them kind of coming to grips with everything. I love the relationship that starting to bond between as a family. Between those trios, I feel like Diggle needs more screen time, in my opinion. I love Diggle, and like you said earlier about him wanting to put the hood on, probably not going to be able to anymore because Ollie's back. I don't know. I love Arrow. Now, this is the first time in a long time that it's gotten favorite episode for me because it's usually my one I don't watch. But I don't look forward to watching as much as the other ones. But this one was good. I enjoyed it.
I just looked it up. So one source had episodes, and one is saying it's a, and this one's Variety, so it's probably accurate. She's coming back for a single episode later in the year.
I wonder what other plot line they could do. Because technically, the last time we saw her, she took over the Demon's Head mantle, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe she brings Shane with her.
Is she the one maybe... Is she the one maybe behind the misinformation to Caden James?
Do you think she could be the big bad? This was officially halfway through the season.
It would seem like a waste, though, to have her be the big bad and only bring her back for one episode.
Yeah, that makes sense then. I'm sure it might play out somewhere down the line. Have anything else for this episode of Hero Cravings?
No, I think that just about covers everything.
Well, awesome. Guys, don't forget, we split the episodes up between Arrowverse and Multiverse, so make sure you check that one out as well. That's it for this week. Make sure you review us on all of your podcast services. Don't forget to share us on all of your social media platforms as well. Check out our website. We've been having more reviews going up on there. It's where we post all of our podcasts. And things like that. Don't forget to follow NerdWhite on Twitter at @nerd_wine. You can follow me at @Ty_Haynes. And you can follow Mr. Rivers at @MavTN7. Don't forget, wherever you come from, whatever show you came from, let us know, tweet at us. We love feedback. We love talking to you guys. As always, I'm your host, Tyler Haynes, with the man himself, Chris Rivers. And I cannot wait to share our thoughts with you next week. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye, everyone.